You have your Bibles. I invite you to open them back to John chapter 4, and we'll look at this morning the verses that we had read to us this morning. It's good to be back with you. I was away last weekend for kind of an extended weekend back in the U.S., visiting with the church that sent us and a lot of folks that sent us over here to be able to work with you, and spent a day or so with my parents in a different state, and then got back earlier this week. And so hopefully my brain will catch up with where my body is later on. But I managed to, on the flight over there, I managed to succeed in one thing, and that was having an empty seat next to me so that no one asked me what I was doing. It's one of my great fears in life to have a conversation with a stranger on an airplane. I don't know why. You can process that later. But I was in a store while I was there, and I was looking for some medicine that you can get in the U.S., but you can't get here, some children's cold medicine. And while I was there, a dear elderly lady came up next to me and started talking to me. Just randomly, never seen her before. And she was having some issues with her feet. And she told me all about it. I didn't want to know. She was so excited because she could now walk again. And she had these things on her feet that she was able to, with this particular medicine that she was actually looking for in the store, to be able to go out and to walk again. And she really had her life back, and she was just so excited, but she couldn't quite find where the medicine was. And so she was asking if I could help her find the medicine. I said, well, it's surely not here in the children's cold and cough medicine section, so let's go walk around. So we had a lovely walk around the store, and I got to hear all about her story. As I went back to the car to leave, I thought to myself, you know, I spent a good solid 12 hours worried about someone asking me my story on an airplane, and yet here was this dear lady that came up to me randomly and just shared her story with me. Why the difference? Why the difference? Why share our story, or why not share our story? For many of us, maybe for a lot of us, our story, when I say our story, I'm thinking of our lives, what's happened in our lives, maybe the things that we've done, maybe the things that we've said, maybe even the things that have been done to us that we're ashamed of. We're afraid that if anybody knew our story, that they might reject us, that they might talk about us, that they might think negatively of us. And so in order to protect ourselves, sometimes we hide our story from other people, and we think we can even at times hide that story from God. But what we find here in this fourth chapter of John is the truth that God knows us in our stories. And we come to a story of a woman who is going about her daily life, a life that has been rough, a life that has been trying and difficult, and yet the Messiah, Jesus, walks into her life, and he changes her story. And so this morning, for just a few minutes that we have left this morning, I want us to think about this particular passage. We're certainly, there's so much here, there's a lot to it, but we're not going to have the chance to get into all of it. But I just want us to think about just a couple of things. And one is that in our stories, and in this story, we see that Jesus goes to the broken. Jesus goes to the broken. Commentators, in as we look at the book of John, and as you remember back when we started this in Jeremy's first sermon on John, where he said, John is a brilliant writer. John is trying to create a picture. He's crafting a picture for us so that we might believe in Jesus, and that the gospel is for everyone, regardless of our story. If you remember, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about John 3:16, one of the most famous verses in all of the Bible. And what does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That word whosoever that we find there, John is making an argument of who the whosoever is. Because in John 3, we talked about Nicodemus. You remember who he was? He was the leader. He was the religious elite. He was, if people were looking at someone just on the outside, they're looking at Nicodemus and going, that guy's got it all together. That's who we want our children to grow up to be like. We want to be Nicodemus. If that's one end of the spectrum, this woman is at the other end of whosoever that the gospel is for. This woman, we meet her as she comes out to the well. If you look in verse 6, she goes down to the well, and it's about the sixth hour. The sixth hour was noon. It's 12 o'clock. It was the hottest part of the day, and we notice that this woman is going by herself. She's going by herself to get water in the middle of the day, which would be very odd because you went with other people, particularly other women, in the beginning of the day before the sun came up, before it got hot. You went there so you would have water for the day for cooking and for cleaning and for washing. And yet here she is going at the hottest part of the day, going all by herself. So we see just from this verse that she's an outcast. She's an outsider. She naturally would have, if everything was, quote, normal in her life, she would have gone with the other ladies. And they would have gone and they would have drawn water together and they would have talked, because that was where they went. The women went to the well and they conversed with one another. The men went to the city gate and they conversed there. They each had their own spots, but this lady is all by herself. And it's just a reminder to her every day that I am outside of the norm. And then later on in this conversation that Jesus comes to her and he says, go and fetch your husband. And she said, well, I don't have a husband. And he says, you're right, actually you don't. In fact, you've had five husbands and the man you're living with now is not your husband. What you have said is very true. Can you imagine what her response, I mean, I love the response, you know, sir, I can see that you are a prophet. What? How in the world does this man know? How in the world would he know this unless he was someone different, someone special? You see, this woman had had five husbands. Now, it doesn't tell us why she had five different husbands. Oftentimes, when we think about this passage, we think of when we hear it preached, we'll think, well, she divorced five different men. It doesn't tell us that. And in fact, in their culture, women weren't even allowed to divorce their husbands. And so she was either divorced by her husband saying, I divorce you three times was all it took. And then she left, or her husband died, or a combination thereof. And so you think about that truth, that he or she has been rejected, or she has suffered the loss and the hurt and the pain of this life. And because of the fact that she has had five husbands, she's talked about, she's looked on differently. She has to go to this well by herself, and she's living in the midst of this brokenness. But that's not enough, because you see, she's a Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans don't talk to each other. And yet, Jesus goes there. If you look back at verse 4, now he had to go through Samaria. As the original hearers of that verse, as John was being read to them, if their heads were down and they were beginning to nod off a little bit in sleep, their heads would have jerked up and gone, he'd had to do what? Because no Jew would have gone to Samaria. In fact, the Jews hated the Samaritans so much, even though it was a direct line from north to south, they would walk around it. It would be like for us to say from, I don't even know what it would be like, for us to get from here to somewhere south. What's someplace south of here? To get to where? To get to London. We would instead, I'm going to go to London. Well, I'm going to go through Wales. Why would you do that? Because I have to go there. Jesus goes to the broken. And you see, if you look at the footnotes, if you have one of the Bibles that was over here on the table, one of the footnotes there for verse 9, or it could be translated, do not use dishes Samaritans have used. They weren't allowed to speak to Samaritans. They weren't allowed to use the same dishes that Samaritans had used. Men weren't allowed to go and talk to women in public. And yet Jesus breaks down all of these things. If there, like I said a minute ago, if there was Nicodemus on one end of this spectrum of whosoever, here a Samaritan woman who has had five husbands and is living out of wedlock with a man who is not her husband. Jesus goes to her, and John says Jesus had to go. You see, no matter what our story is, no matter how broken our stories are, no matter what has happened to us, no matter what we have done or thought or said or where we come from, Jesus can come to you and to me. Jesus comes to us in the midst of that brokenness, in the midst of that struggle and trial. Jesus comes for you and for me. The gospel is for everyone. Not just those who have their act together. The gospel comes to them, and it comes to those of us that don't have our acts together, that have lived broken lives, that when we sit down on an airplane, just hope and pray that no one asks us our story. Or even when we walk into a room such as this, and we hope no one knows our story. Jesus knows us. And he doesn't reject us, but he has to come and be in our midst. And as Jesus comes, what does he do? He offers living water to the broken. He goes and he has this conversation. It's in some ways, it's like the conversation that he had with Nicodemus. Because Jesus is speaking these things, and Nicodemus is understanding them through his own grid. When Jesus said, you need to be born again, and Nicodemus is going, but born again? How in the world am I going to enter into my mother's womb a second time? I was like, what are you talking about? He didn't quite grasp it. And the same is happening here with this woman at the well, that Jesus comes to her and says, would you give me a drink? And she goes, well, why are you asking me? I'm a woman, you're a man, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. Like, this doesn't make any sense why we're having this conversation right now. He says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. What are you talking about? She is thinking just in terms of what's right there, and Jesus is thinking of this, of it in a spiritual nature. He's saying, you keep coming here, your story brings you here, and yet here, if you would just ask me, I will give you water to where you will never thirst again. You will never long to be satisfied by anything in this world again. Because I will fully and completely and totally satisfy you and the thirst that you have. And Jesus offers that water to you and to me as well. Jesus, even here this morning, he is offering you and me in whatever our stories are. He is saying, stop running after all of these things that you hope will satisfy you. Because they don't. For this woman, it was relationships. For others, it could be status, like Nicodemus. For others, it could be success or worldly fame or any number of things that we run after and we try oftentimes because of our stories, sometimes to make our stories better. We long for them to satisfy us, and yet they always leave us thirsty. And Jesus comes in to us in our brokenness and says, take of me, take and drink, and you will never thirst again. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs for you. Is that true of us? Have you tasted that water? Jesus says it will spring up into you a well of eternal life. Remember, that's one of John's favorite phrases, is eternal life. Jesus came so that we might believe, so that we might have eternal life. And Jesus comes to this woman, and he comes to you and to me, and he says, come and drink. Drink. Do you know Jesus? Have you put your faith and your trust in him? He comes to you, even this morning, if you don't yet know him, he is offering you life eternal. And that's just not something that's down the road, maybe years or decades down the line, but it's a life that we can have to the fullest, even right now. We can be satisfied and live for him. But look what happens. This woman, she says, sir, I can see that you're a prophet. And then she begins to have this discussion about worship with him. And we don't have the time, but it's a great conversation that she brings up with Jesus. She's actually quite astute as to her religiousness and where they were to worship and how they were to worship. And then Jesus reveals himself to her. She says in verse 25, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. You know that the one who is coming, who's going to explain all of this stuff, that's me, Jesus says. But then what does she do? In verse 28, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? This woman who went to the well at noon because she was hiding from everyone in town. What does she do when she encounters Jesus and when she hears who he is and what he offers? What does she do? She goes back. And she begins to speak to the very people that she spent her life hiding from. She goes and she says, could this be the one? Come and meet someone who told me everything that I ever did. Did he really tell her everything that she ever did? We don't know. We only know what John has captured as a part of this conversation. But what does she do? She goes and tells others, those whom she has been hiding from, those whom she was afraid of, those who mocked her and jeered her and looked down upon her, she is the one who goes. And in later on in the chapter of chapter 4, we see many of them come out and meet Jesus. And later on, Jesus will spend 2 days with them in this city. And they will say, you know, we sort of believed because of this woman's testimony, but now we believe because we have heard Jesus. And many people come to faith in Jesus because of this woman, because Jesus went to the broken. What moved her? What moved her is because of what Jesus had done. What moved that lady that I met a little over a week ago in the middle of a grocery store looking for children's cough medicine? What moved her to have a conversation with me was the amazing thing that medicine could do for her. The fact that she was once unable to walk because her feet hurt so badly, and I won't go into all the details that she went into, but now she could walk. Now she could get out of the house. Now she had her life back. and she wanted to tell people about it. Has Jesus changed your life? Has Jesus brought you life itself, life eternal? If so, do you want to tell others about it? To share your story, to simply say, so often we think we need to argue someone into the kingdom of God. And yet all we need to do is to say, here's my story. I once was lost and now I'm found. I was broken and Jesus came into my life. He came for me. And here's what he did. He made me new. He gave me life everlasting. And I am satisfied in him. And I don't have to run after all these things. And all we are called to do is to share our story and to point people to Jesus and say, come meet the one who forgave me of everything that I have ever done wrong and made me new. There's so much more we could say about these verses, but what does it do? It leads us to share the story and to worship God in spirit and in truth. That's the kind of worshipers that God wants, not those who do it as a performance, but those who gather together, who worship him because of what he has done. May we be people like that, people that aren't afraid to share our story because Jesus has entered in. And if he hasn't entered in yet, what a great day. What an amazing day for that to happen. If what I've said this morning and you don't know Jesus and you're confused like this woman at the well and you think you're having a different conversation than I'm having this morning, don't just pass that by. Back hallway. Go and we say go and pray, but go and just say, you know what, can I set up a time where we can meet and have a discussion? Because I want to learn more about this Jesus. We'd love to do that. Let me pray for us.